coming at you from K-Chung Studios. It's a little bit of a hot night down here in Chinatown. This is Marco Pollo. It's a little balmy.
Yeah.
And I've got Veal Parmstrong here. And before we introduce our special guest, I just want to say I can't quite put my finger on why it feels a little more peaceful and relaxing today in the studio. Can
does
you?
It?
It does. Do you know what it is?
Maybe it's our special guest?
Well, there's that, but then there's also an absence of something.
Oh. We don't have a drunken, red-bearded maniac screaming into the microphone the whole time.
Beef Erickson, we love you, and we hope you can join us next time, although I do have to say you were a little scary last show.
You know, he brings a certain... we're all about the flavor on the Culinaires, and that's Beef Erickson.
Yeah. Beef has his fans, Heather Platt, food writer, being one, and probably the only one. But we love him, and we hope he joins us next time. But we're glad he's not here right now, just for kind of a little breath of fresh air. Franklin, a.k.a. Veal Parmstrong, as you introduce the guest, I might turn off the fan.
The fan is loud. It does feel nice, though. We've got a very special guest tonight. His name is Desmond Borges. You may know him from a little show called You're the Worst on FXX. He plays Edgar. He came out this night, had some delicious Filipino food, and welcome to the studio, Desmond.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Are you enjoying Chinatown?
I'm loving Chinatown. Every time I'm in L.A. lately, it seems like I'm here more often than I was last time I was here.
You're a New York guy.
I'm a New York guy.
Slash Connecticut.
Slash Connecticut, slash Chicago.
And, but you're in town, why are you in town?
I'm in town to shoot season 4 of You're the Worst.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that should be fun. I'll see you out there, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to back it up for a lot of our listeners. They know Veal Parmstrong is only part of the Culinaires. Veal, what do you do in your day job?
I write for a show. Have we mentioned the show You're the Worst yet tonight?
I don't think some people put together the fact that you guys are on the same show. They know they don't know you are part of that show.
They just think
you're a food expert.
I'm a food expert primarily, and secondarily, I write for You're the Worst. And Desmond is
food.
Yeah. Well, we should get into that because let's just jump right in. I don't want to jump your schedule, but real quick, we're gonna do a quick.
I have no schedule.
I was hoping you would have a schedule.
Oh, okay, well, I've got a little bit. Well, I was gonna say about how Desmond, besides being a great actor, also has the special award for being our only Culinaires guest who we've gone out with twice, and I hope there'll be a third time. Tonight was a little rocky, and Marco Pollo takes the blame for that.
Sailing is difficult, my man.
Good. That's a good Culinaires attitude.
Sailing is difficult, but the company is always a great time.
Good.
And the food should always be an adventure.
Yeah, the food was
whether
an adventure.
Whether it's a low-key adventure or a balut adventure.
Right. I mean, I'd like to talk. I'd kind of like to do a recap of our first Culinaires adventure. I don't want to jump you, Veal.
No, just get into it. I love it.
Okay, so it was about 2 years ago. We went out. And for fans of the show, they've probably seen the Instagrams. If my memory serves correct, we met Desmond downtown. We took a train down to Garden Grove?
It was somewhere near Santa Ana in Orange County.
Okay.
That's all I could tell you.
Pranz de Leon was leading the charge. We were supposed to eat eyeball and head tacos. That didn't happen. We went to a different taco place, and then we went to Cafe Artiste. We had alligator, we had snails, we had frog's legs, and then we had balut.
What do you think of the balut, Desmond?
For those of you who don't know what balut is, or haven't Googled it yet, it is a fermented duck egg.
Fertilized. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
You got a, it honestly tastes just like chicken soup, except if you get a wing or a piece of a beak.
Or a little feather. You might get a little feather in there. So you basically have a duck fetus that's sort of half developed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it did taste a lot like chicken soup.
I didn't think it was bad. I thought it tasted like an egg that had some a little more meatiness to it. Yolk, it was becoming a chicken, and it tasted a little chickeny.
Mine was already a little more yolky. I had a little less fetus.
A little under.
More yolky.
Undercooked, yeah.
That's right.
It's intense. It's not for the faint of heart.
I wasn't a huge fan of the balut. The rest of the dinner was good.
The snails were great.
We went out for, there was a ribeye that was delicious. We went out for a big night out in Garden Grove. Cellar Door, was that the name of the bar?
Unsurprisingly, Beef Erickson left his mark on the restaurant.
Beef Erickson threw up under the table, and then he had to be kind of escorted out like a large baby.
He threw up in the corner of the patio, and then I feel like we just sort of kicked it into the corner under a table and ran out.
And gave him another beer.
Luckily, it was a smoking patio, so I feel like everyone's sense of smell was a little bit impaired. And, yeah, then we partied it out. We took the train back. We got we sat in the bar cart, and then it was a Latino rockabilly band and some pizza and some more shenanigans. It was kind of the ultimate Culinaire's night, so we're glad you could join us for tonight for round two.
I was worried that we had scared him away, possibly forever after that night.
Oh, no.
Give him a taste for more.
I mean, yeah, we started off with the bar was pretty high.
Yeah, the bar was pretty high.
You know.
We hit the other end of the spectrum tonight, which is also good. Different.
That's okay. It was Sunday night.
All right, well, to recap tonight, I met Desmond and Veal at Ye Rustic. Chopped down a couple wings where I pretended to know what was going on in whatever game they were watching.
Rustic is, in its own accord, a foodie spot because it's agreed upon the best wings in the city.
Yeah. The wings are amazing.
And I think the burger is also a little bit underrated. I think I put the burger up there as far as like my lowbrow burgers. It's definitely in the top five, maybe the top three.
Love the Myrtle Burger. Big fan.
Yeah.
I've never had the burger.
You gotta have the burger. It's great. It's grilled onions, bacon. Mm-hmm. I think there's mushrooms on it.
Mm-hmm.
A special sauce.
A very special sauce.
And it's just a perfect crunchy.
Is it like a mustard ketchup mix type of sauce?
Try like a mayo ketchup mix.
Some chive in there.
I can't vouch for the chive, Desmond.
Oregano.
It's good.
There's definitely no oregano.
The only thing I haven't liked there is that one time I had the eggs, and I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah.
It was early.
You got to stick to those two things.
So then it was off to Kaylee Hits, not Kale.
I think it's Collier.
Collier? C-A-Y-L-E Hits.
No, it's K-A-L-Y-E.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said C-A-L-E-Y or
did
something.
I say C?
I think it's Collier Hits, K-A-L-Y-E.
Okay. That's going to be like my Milo and Otis for the show.
There's a thing, I don't know what it is, there's a Filipino thing with Hits, because the other Filipino place we have been to is Dollar Hits, and this was Collier Hits. So what's that about?
Somebody tweet at us. Let us know what's up with Filipinos and Hits.
Maybe Hits is an acronym for something.
Oh.
Oh.
Hold it. I just realized. You guys keep talking. It's this fan that's a little noisy.
Duncan and the fans. He tends to obsess on fans.
I think it's loud. So anyway, we went to this place in historic Filipino town. I had heard about it. I had been by, popped into the bar, didn't have a drink, but kind of scoped it out. And it also kind of been in the mix with the Culinaires from a couple years ago. We talked about going there. I was thinking it was closed. We'd have some pork intestine, maybe some blood sausage. There were some other interesting things on there. There was something called
Desmond
the Betamax.
He spotted on the menu a blood mole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, blood mole. Oh, sounds amazing.
One of them, in a chocolate blood sauce.
Ooh.
So I figured that.
So we didn't have that, though.
So we're all teed up for a classic Culinaire's dinner. They also have karaoke and live bands.
I'm sorry.
And a full bar. Unfortunately, when we rolled in, it was not only a little quiet, it was dead empty. And there was one older woman who worked there.
By older, you mean she was 85, 4 feet tall, weathered, and extremely flustered by our presence. And not a great communicator.
I think we woke her up from a nap.
She didn't know what was going on.
Anyway, really nothing that we wanted was on the menu or was being served that night. Nothing adventurous. And we sat down anyway because I couldn't think of what else to do. And it was also very hot.
We were under a spotlight.
Under a spotlight.
It was the brightest, emptiest restaurant I've ever been in.
She took our order and then she proceeded to go in the kitchen and to cook the food herself.
Dish by slow dish.
Well, that's what you get when you want to have a private chef course out a multiple course meal for you. It goes dish by dish.
Yo, I've had Sig Sig before. That Sig Sig was pretty good.
What was
Sig Sig being? Is that the garlic rice?
Huh?
No.
Oh.
The garlic rice was good. I mean, Sig Sig is like marinated pork that comes out on a cast iron skillet that has a raw egg on it that you kind of like leaf it through. You splash a little kumquat on top of there, get a little citrus onto it.
That was
and
good.
Then, and then the egg kind of cooks into it. I just don't think, I think she should have brought the rice out before the Sig Sig.
It was odd that the third course was just the white rice.
It was just the garlic rice.
Well, yeah. That was pretty plain.
Garlic. And but it was fried kind of nicely. There was a good crunch.
Sure, it was good rice.
Texture, so
I just find it as its own course, maybe.
Yeah, no, it definitely should have come out before the sik-sik.
And I thought the meal was gaining a little momentum, and then the fourth course was a little dry.
It was a little dry. It was a beef and onions.
It was leather.
It was maybe a little dry, a little leathery.
The fifth course was the fried chicken wings that then she kind of didn't want to go through the bother of making, and I didn't want to sit there any longer to eat them.
We couldn't understand exactly what she was saying, but I think we got the gist of, will you please not, or let me off the hook for the chicken wings. And I think we were more than happy to do so.
But then she invited us back for Latin night.
Yes. And she went out of her way to tell us that on Saturdays it's a very mixed crowd, that there's Latinos,
blacks,
whites, and blacks, she said.
And we said a lot of Filipinos. She said, no, only three Filipinos.
Only three Filipinos.
She really is a three Filipino max on Friday night.
She really wanted us to know how mixed it was on Saturdays, I guess.
And then the topper was, we get in the lift, and the guy says, I happen to live around the street. How was that place? We said, it was all right. Not that many people in there. And he said, I've never seen a single person in that restaurant.
Now, I had read on Yelp that they were slow.
Yeah.
But I hadn't read on Yelp that they were empty and no one goes there, and it's probably some kind of front for another kind of business.
There are pictures on Yelp of Filipino families enjoying what looks like to be a family-style meal.
Having fun, and bands. Yeah. Now, there are two locations. Maybe that's the second location. So not every Culinaire's Dinner. If every Culinaire's Dinner was amazing, that wouldn't be the Culinaire's.
No. Well, the sik-sik was good, so it wasn't a complete loss.
Yeah.
And it was a good adventure.
It was a good adventure.
The woman was very nice.
You have to hit on one of the themes to your
and
adventure.
And
not
and
the culinary,
stuffed.
But the adventure.
Right. The nears.
I think if you're part of your philosophy is that you're adventurous food eaters,
right,
you got to have some misses, because what kind of adventure just goes to delightful destinations? That's not an adventure. An adventure is the unknown.
Exactly.
You don't know what is coming.
Exactly.
And if I wake up tomorrow feeling good, it's a win. Because I will tell you, that night we went out for balut, it didn't even hit me till a day later, and I went into work, and not only did I get very sick, but also, I'm sure Franklin has heard this story, my dog had gotten into some skunk stuff that night and crawled into bed with me, so in the morning I was sleeping in skunk smell all night, went to pick up the writer I carpool with to work, she got in the car and almost threw up, she's like, you stink of skunk, so I went into work, also feeling sick from dinner and smelling like skunk, had to shower in one of the trailers, one of the actors. We had a table read. I was going to be sitting right next to Patrick Stewart. Didn't want to miss it. It's my script.
What is wrong with you?
I had a parasite and then a skunk smell.
How do you sleep in skunk all night and then get up and go get in the car reeking of skunk and you don't notice?
What happened was I was in bed and I think I just let my dog out to tinkle. And I kind of went to bed, and then I was half asleep, and he crawled in, and I did smell something pungent, but to me it almost smelled like he'd gotten into some very pungent bush, that maybe the rain had kicked up some smell. And then I was baking it and marinating in it for so long that by the morning I had acclimated, and it was I smelled terrible. The next week went out and filmed in the desert, and someone told me they still smelled disgusting.
So did you freely flatulate during this time, because I'm sure that cannot have been smelled over the skunk smell, right? Or
that's the one benefit.
I don't know what was coming out of my pores. After the table read, I threw up, and that was a tough culinaries for me.
And you are single.
Ladies, I am single. I'm going to check the culinaries Twitter feed right now if anyone wants to have dinner with me. Yes, I am single.
We know a great place that has 4, maybe 5 items that they will serve you tonight.
Now, there was good quality control, because we did try and order the quail eggs, but the waitress / chef / hostess did tell us she had the quail eggs, but they were bad.
They were rotten.
Yeah.
They said they're no good. So there's a quality control that's happening there. At least we know that.
I think I want to kick it off with a little segment that I call What Did You Eat This Month? Which I obviously have something in my back pocket that I want to break out.
It's all about you, isn't it?
Basically, but we can start with you. Did you eat anything interesting?
I went to a great food festival, part of the LA Weekly Food Bowl. I don't know if you guys heard of this. The first annual food festival of Los Angeles. They're going to try to keep going every year. It's a month of food events. I went to something called Beast Feast downtown. Mm. It was a beautiful open air right above Border Grill. And they had a bunch of chefs there, a bunch of alcohol stations, cocktails, and wine. Michael Cimarusti of Providence fame was there shucking raw oysters and clams. I had a big raw clam that was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. Just a
sounds
raw
expensive.
Clam on a half shell. It was a little pricey. I have some friends who work for the LA Weekly, so we kind of got a little hookup there. So
are you doing? Is this a plug right now? Because we don't do plugs.
Not the LA Weekly, LA Times. Okay. Yeah, no.
We don't do paybacks.
We're plugging the LA Times here. Who else was there? The Border Grill girls, Sue Ann Milliken and Susan Fenniger.
I would have called them grown women.
They're the girls.
Call them
what
girls.
About what about the Kismet girls? They were there. They're girls, right?
They're great. I follow them on Instagram.
Bledsoe's was there. Bledsoe himself.
Oh.
Carr Van Brisket, just handing out pieces of brisket, just eating it with our hands. Mm. All kinds of other famous chefs that I didn't know. And then we sat down and they served like a 8-course meal where it was meat focused. And we had, I had lamb, I had ox heart. I had all kinds of delicious
heart.
Brisket
wow.
and beef and it was fantastic.
Yeah, maybe back to that ox heart. How do they serve that? Is that
they did it in a sandwich.
Ooh, okay.
So they kind of carved off slices of ox heart and put it in a bun.
Brioche.
It was a little. It might have been a small brioche bun, maybe. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean,
tomcat seeded.
No, there's no seeds. Have you had heart before ever?
I have heart every day.
That's how you live.
No.
When you're in the arts.
When you're in the arts, you have hearts.
Have you either of you ever had heart?
No, I've never had heart before. Was it good?
I wanted to say yes, but I guess I can't think of. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
It's like the texture of cheese.
Well, like a beef heart, and I assume ox is pretty close. It tastes like a filet mignon. It's a very lean steak, and it's very tender. Mm. It's a little maybe like offally kind of that sort of flavor, but it's great.
This event sounds very highfalutin.
How was it prepared?
It was grilled.
Yeah. Medium rare.
Felt like it was a medium-ish kind of a temperature.
Feels like you're bearing the lead a little bit. Didn't you run into anyone else there? Kind of interesting, kind of well known in the LA food world.
I did run into Jonathan Gold there.
Or did you say hello for me? Did you give him my best?
I don't think. Yeah, I know you know him. I don't know if he knows you.
He might.
Gold was there. I've never met him before. My friend who works at LA Times dragged me over and introduced me and my wife to Jonathan Gold. Jonathan Gold couldn't have been less interested in meeting us, but he took a picture with us very kindly. He was getting the guy is just a celebrity. He was getting swamped the whole night. He's a big shot. I just pulled up the menu here. So, yeah, we had the ox hearts. We had a quail that was really good. Achiote rubbed quail. That was Mary Sue Milliken and Susan Fenniger. The brisket.
The girls.
Those the girls. I call them the girls. We had a warm beef salad from Dario Caccini, he's a very well-known Italian chef, apparently.
I'm nodding because I didn't know him personally.
Nancy Silverton was there, so we had some braised onions and potatoes and white beans that she made.
Okay.
Sarah Kramer and Sarah Hymanson, those are the Kismet girls. They served spiced carrots with almonds.
I know who they are.
Butter lettuce with a green tomato and mint. And then Adalia Navarez did a strawberry and rhubarb pie, which Susan Fenniger came over and cut at our table for us. It was nice.
Okay, wow. So it looks like Veal had a big,
I hope
fancy,
you have as many names to drop in your roundup.
Well, it's less about dropping names and more about an experience. But I don't want to steal anything. Des, did you have anything interesting this month? I only say month because we do the show every month.
Right. I stood in line for 45 minutes on National Donut Day.
Okay. I think I might have seen that on Foodie Fridays on your Instagram site.
As soon as I get to LA, I like to go to Donut Friend.
Love Donut Friend. Love it.
Apple fritter. It's my fave. Mm. X-ray speculus. It's up there.
What's the X-ray speculus?
X-ray speculus is like a regular donut with a little cookie batter in the middle with some chocolate glaze and some sea salt on top.
Oh, my God. That's absurd.
It's pretty delicious. Yeah. Got another one called S'moresy. That's pretty nice. nice.
That sounds like a classic LA donut.
It was just so I did that on National Donut Day, but a place that I went to, it was a little longer than a month ago, but I was traveling here from the East Coast, so time difference, right? I went to Blue Hill at Stone Barns.
Always wanted to go there.
To Dan Barber's spot.
Oh,
and,
cool.
It was magnificent.
Walk us through it. Walk us
so
through it.
So amazing.
Give us the juicy details.
First of all, I mean, it has the whole, aesthetically, it's that inside-out country rustic sort of things. There's plants, there's trees that are growing through, you know, through the restaurant, through the building. That's pretty awesome. The farm is absolutely, it's like gigantic and amazing. And I don't even remember everything that we got, but I do remember this one thing. One of the courses, we had to go into the kitchen. The chefs prepared it, made it for us there. He comes over, he's working, starts talking to us. We're there with our six-month-old son. His wife comes over with their couple of kids. We start talking about baby led weaning, stuff like
fun.
That. We get done with that course. We go back out to our table. The next course is acorn squash that they prepared there. Our son hadn't had solid food yet. We asked if he could have that. They said no. And then Chef Dan came out like 5 minutes later. He roasted an acorn squash just for him with nothing else in it.
Wow.
So that's where his palate began.
Wow.
Like, this is for my wife and I, like, probably like the most exquisite meal experience that we've ever had. And like, that's where little man started.
He's gonna grow up to be a terrible snob.
Well, you know, there's so many types of snobs that are worse than food snobs.
That is true. That is true.
So, you know.
Don't they? When I saw the chef's table about that restaurant,
yeah,
I remember that one of his courses is just like raw, just carrots. It's like carrots from his garden. He just serves you the raw carrot.
And they're like hanging on a tree. There was another one where we had to like find like a needle in a haystack.
Uh-huh.
And it was literally hay and then two pieces of like infused bread that was in the same consistency of the hay, and you had to find it in there. I think my favorite one was there was like this like zucchini ring that came out that was it was some sort of like lime or a very acidic tempura batter. And it was almost burnt crisp to one side, and the other side was really fluffy, and it was just, it was some
but I want to know about the carrots. Were the carrots, nothing was done to them, and were they, how were they?
Nothing was done to them, and they were hanging off of a fake little two-foot tree.
Did they taste special?
They were just good.
Just good carrots.
There was pieces of lettuce next to them that you ate with it. They weren't dressed. They were just lovely and fresh.
Just fresh and dirty.
Fresh and dirty.
Wow.
I think they were washed.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
In the finest water.
All right. I'm going to put that on my list.
All right. So that's the food roundup, I
guess.
Well,
you mentioned Chef's Tale, which actually reminded me that I was in Mexico City for four nights.
You were.
Which I highly recommend. As a lot of the listeners know, Marco Pollo was kind of the traveler of the culinaires. So I jumped down there for 4 days solo, had a great time. Ate a lot of food. The highlight being, if people have seen season 3 of Chef's Table, Pujol. Or Pujol, as I like to call it.
Did you actually go there?
Yes, I did go there.
And when you got there, did you say, I'm so happy to be at Pujol?
No, I'm just nervous because I'm on live radio. It was fantastic. And that has been how I've been pronouncing it. But it was pronounced a little differently in Chef's Tale than how I pronounce it. Anyway.
Quick, just so you know, last episode we had this chef from Milo and Olive in Santa Monica here. Good friend of mine. Duncan referred to her restaurant as Milo and Otis, i.e. the movie about a dog and a cat, I think, four times throughout the... And he was corrected every time, and he just kept doing it.
First time started as a joke, and then I could not stop myself.
No, it was never a joke.
No, it was a joke. I pointed it out. I made a joke, and then I couldn't stop myself.
At least it was a joke. Bro.
She stopped correcting him. She was just like, just let the man call it Milo.
Friendly event.
Anyway,
so
the meal...
It's not Milo and Otis.
It's not Milo and Otis.
Her restaurant is called what?
Milo and Olive.
Milo and Olive.
And where did I go in Mexico City?
Pujol.
Exactly. It was so good. Now, I had tried to get a reservation. I couldn't. I know one person in Mexico City. I forgot I even knew them till I got there, and we went out to dinner, and I mentioned it, and she said, oh, she's a photographer. She had just shot at the restaurant. So the next day, I was at the Casa Berrigan, the Luis Berrigan, the architect's house. Not a friend. It's a museum. And I got a phone call to come over for, I had a 2 o'clock reservation, so I rushed over, very sweaty, in my T-shirt, not looking my best, sitting between, like, two kind of, like, fancy Mexican businessmen for the taco omakase menu, which was like an 8 or 9 part menu. It was amazing. I would say the highlight is the pork belly. If you've seen Chef's Table, you know that Enrique Olvera's signature dish is the mole madre, which is a one mole from 3 years ago. They tell you the date. I think it was like 1,231 days ago was prepared.
Is it aged for 3 years, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the second mole they made this morning. So that's kind of in the middle. So it's two moles, and then there's like a little tortilla on there.
Interesting.
That's pretty good.
So all the courses were tacos?
Almost all the courses. I think 5 of the courses were tacos, and then 2 were desserts, and then 1 was some kind of starter. And also with every 2 dishes, there was a drink. I had Mexican sake. I had mezcal. I had a tequila. I had a red wine.
Wow.
So I was looking at the people on either side of me being like, how are they going to get up and go back to work? I didn't eat for 24 hours. I was supposed to do a street food tour the next day. I had to cancel. I was very stuffed. But it was a delight. And this is their second location. They just moved. They never missed a day of business. And they moved into a very cool, very almost Japanese in its aesthetic style of the restaurant. And it was great. But everything I ate down there was great. That was kind of the highlight.
Did you get some street food?
I did get some street food. I was in Coyoacan after going to Frida Kahlo's house and Trotsky's house, and I stumbled in this beautiful market in Coyoacan, had a lot of ceviche there, and had a few tortas, and just a lot of great tacos, and just Mexico City was just a delight.
Great.
Pretty great.
Sounds like a good trip.
It was excellent. And that's all I have to say about it. You know, one thing I was upset that we didn't have, another thing that we didn't have at the Filipino restaurant, was something that I wanted to try, banana ketchup.
Never heard of it.
It's a thing.
Is it just what it is?
Yeah.
It's bananas and ketchup.
Well, oh, gross. No, no, it's more of ketchup as a condiment with other things added into it. Yeah, it's not literally banana ketchup.
Like banana peppers, not necessarily banana.
Yeah, exactly. Franklin, you don't have enough imagination to imagine.
It's ketchup with things added into it?
No, I think it's banana. It's like mush, banana mush with things added into it.
It's mushed up bananas with what added into it?
Well, I don't know exactly. I've just heard it's a thing, and I wanted to try it tonight.
Is there ketchup in it?
Cardamom.
I think ketchup is used more as a generic for condiment. Anyway,
wait,
moving
no,
on.
No,
let's
no,
move,
no,
let's
no,
move
no,
on
no,
to this
no,
Filipino.
I'd like to pause for a second here.
I looked at that menu pretty thoroughly, and I didn't see any banana ketchup on that menu.
Where did you hear banana ketchup?
I don't know if they had it there. I just know that's a Filipino condiment.
But you have no idea what it is. You reach for your phone, ladies and gentlemen, he's Googling it right now.
I'm not Googling anything. I actually got a text from a fan. Marco Pollo, loving your stuff. Why is Veal Parmstrong talking so much? I don't know either, honey.
I want to know why you brought up banana ketchup, and now you don't want to talk about it anymore.
I do want to talk about it. I'm just saying it's a Filipino condiment I wanted to try.
It's a condiment made of bananas.
No, you keep trying to put it in the box. Not exactly. Not exactly. There's banana in it. Anyway. Desmond.
I think we're going to let him off the hook on this one, Desmond, but that seems.
I think we're going to have to.
We're going to have to, because that was a disaster.
But I'm going to go fucking find some.
You can say fucking. This is ketchup.
You should have seen my face after I said that. I'm going to go fucking find some banana ketchup after we're done, though, for real. Like, I want to taste it now.
I think you're calling their name as banana ketchup.
I'm going to look it up.
Banana ketchup.
Look it up. And I will say that just to add insult to injury, not only do we kind of get a little bit of a cold shoulder at the Filipino restaurant, but then, once again, this is almost like a continuing segment. When we went into Chinatown to Hop Louie, the bartender just does not warm up to us, and me in particular.
No.
He really does not like me.
He seems very angry in general.
But he was yucking it up with some people today, some gringos.
Even when he just took your card, he was like, do you want to keep it open?
Yeah.
So.
We're going to work on him.
Yeah.
Desmond.
He was delightful, though, at the end.
You're living in New York, sometimes Connecticut.
Yep.
You're coming out to L.A. to do You're the Worst.
Yep.
When you're in New York, What are you missing food-wise about L.A.? And when you're in L.A., what are you missing food-wise about New York?
Well, let's see. Well, I'm definitely missing those chocolate chip cookies at Forge with the sea salt on them when I'm in New York.
At Forge, you say?
At Forge.
I'm noticing a pattern. You have a sweet tooth.
When I'm out here, I do. I have a crazy sweet tooth. All I want to eat are those chocolate chip cookies, donuts, and burritos, and maybe a cheeseburger.
Okay.
That's seriously all I want.
Yeah, your hashtag Foodie Fridays are very sweet heavy.
Yeah, lately they have been. But also because in New York, there's not very good Mexican food.
Mm.
So I really stock up on that while I'm out here. Let's see. I miss the tortellini El Brudo at El Miento.
The best.
I think that's a pretty amazing little dish.
Just went last night to his new place, Caso Buono.
Oh,
Caso
yes.
Buono.
I went there two nights ago.
That was great. Great pizza.
Great.
Oh, were you guys both there two nights ago?
I was there Saturday. You were there. When were you there?
Friday, I believe.
Okay.
It's
good. The pizza was phenomenal.
We got some meatballs. We got some vegetables.
Smoky mozzarella sticks. Did you get those?
We did. Those they're like log cabin.
Yeah.
Like Lincoln log cabin thick.
Yeah.
But they're really
and great
good,
wine
so.
There too.
Great wine.
Yeah.
Great wine.
Packed both nights.
Well, I packed on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, we were sitting at the bar. We didn't get a table.
Yeah.
The bar was cool though. I kind of prefer being at the bar at that place because they're just kind of like bringing plates out as they come, so it's easier to take them away.
It's tiny. It has like, yeah, it's like maybe 8 tables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. You know, I mean, I would say I miss Sugarfish, but now there's one in New York.
Yeah.
So, well, we got that going on.
All right, so what's the flip? What are you missing from New York?
Oh, man. The blue cheeseburger at the Spotted Pig.
Oh, I'm sure.
That sounds heavy. I couldn't do that.
Walking into Eataly.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of going up to the fish counter and seeing what they have there and maybe having an appetizer or like some soup there or a nice little octopus salad and then moving over to the side where I can grab some pizza and like actually get a pie, sit down and have a pie and a beer.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, like that's like I always love that spot for that. And then, I mean, without a doubt, I'm missing El Almacen in Williamsburg. It's like this Argentine joint.
Mm.
They make these lobster tacos there that, seriously, they're out of this world. They're great. And they're like big and they're fluffy and they're buttery and they're juicy, but it's a taco, you know? And it's just like the quality of the lobster meat that they use is really excellent.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to listen to this episode and write these down for next time I go to New York. Those are some good tips.
Oh, yeah. So those I will do those three.
Okay.
And what about Chicago?
Oh, Chicago, I'm always missing Bang Bang Pie and Biscuits in Logan Square. The chef, I can't remember what her name is, and that makes me sound foolish, but I can't at this time. She was on one of the top chefs or whatever it was a few super early on, moved over into Chicago and made this place. And at first, they were just making biscuits and pies, fresh jam and butter. And then they kind of branched out. They started making maple glazed bacon and honey ham to go with the biscuits. And then they actually started making like full on biscuit breakfast entrees. And that's kind of where they're at now. And last time I went there, I had like sausage and gravy with a fried egg on top.
Oh my God.
Like I've had a lot of, like, I lived in Houston, Texas for 8 years. And I've traveled quite a bit, like in and around the South. Like I've had lots of biscuits.
Yeah, some biscuits.
But, I mean, these might be my favorite biscuits that I've ever had, and they're in Chicago.
You heard it here first, everybody. Chicago biscuits.
I've tried making biscuits a couple times. Have you ever tried?
It's a very difficult process.
It's not easy. I mean, it takes a certain skill.
It does. It reminds me of, like, the first couple times I made an apple pie or a blueberry pie.
Yeah.
I really fucked those up.
Yeah.
They fell. They're flat. They never rose. It was just kind of like...
They say the frozen butter with the biscuits is a trick.
Is the way to go?
Frozen butter.
I mean...
You put some chunks of it in there.
Folks down south just say, use margarine.
Margarine. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
It sounds like we got a couple cooks in the kitchen.
Keep it creamy.
Desiree, you a cook?
I am a cook.
Okay, what's your are you a breakfast guy, dinner guy, everything?
Yeah, I kind of do a little bit of it all. I like to cook. I definitely cook my breakfast every morning, but I have a very similar sort of breakfast every morning. Mm-hmm. Just some egg whites with some spinach and maybe some smoked salmon in there with some avocado. Yeah, I like to just kind of add some fruit. I start it off light. I don't need to get like too heavy or crazy. If I go out, you know, I want a good blueberry pancake.
Right, right. I know you're recently married. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who's the better chef?
Oh, she would say me.
Oh, okay.
I do almost all the cooking.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I really dig it. I mean, we do it together, but yeah. For the most part, you know, I take it on home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. And your character on You're the Worst, Edgar, is a cook as well.
He is. He likes to cook.
Yeah. What's he known for?
He's kind of forced to cook. breakfast specialties.
Yes.
Like breakfast sushi.
Breakfast lasagna.
Breakfast.
Nachos.
Tots.
Breakfast tots.
Breakfast balut. Nope, they won't let me do
that. Breakfast balut. All right, I'm not going to ask any spoilers for season 4, even though I'd like to know some. But I'm going to steer away from that.
Okay.
Coming out this fall, so we'll start shooting in a couple weeks.
Now, let me ask, as a young man on television
who
likes to eat,
yes.
who's known for having an appetite, have you ever gotten a free meal, which is my goal as a culinaire? I'm like, when is the day where we're going to be offered a free meal from someone, and it hasn't happened? Anyone ever milk any free meals out of this?
This is Duncan's gig? This is Duncan's version of fame.
Basically. That and like having an assistant, I think, would be very nice.
You know, I want to say yes for you, because I want you to like live so vicariously through me right now. But no, I have never received a free meal. I have received.
That's not true. Because tonight at Filipino Food. You're like, that barely counts because it was terrible.
Yeah, no, but they didn't give it to us.
Right, right.
Free.
Yeah, I was trying, I was you know, throwing a bone out there just in case.
Right, no, but I have received, like, compliments from myself, or the chef is sending this over, or...
free dish counts, free dish counts.
Free dish,
yeah.
So yeah.
Really?
I would say the best benefit is my local butcher watches and loves the show, so... Whenever I go in there, you know, like, they always kind of take care of me. They put nice cuts to the side for me.
There you go.
I actually, they shipped out 75 bags of my favorite beef jerky.
Wow.
To LA.
Oh, my God.
I want to try some. Bring some to set.
That's actually a spoiler. I was going to bring that.
See, writers don't get this. We don't get this kind of, these perks.
Yeah. No free meals for you.
Yeah.
And
I didn't get it for free, but you know, I got a discount.
Yeah, a little extra.
Well, when you buy in bulk.
Fan of the show.
Yeah.
No writers. I haven't gotten any free meals, but I feel like the culinaires are very close to getting some free meals.
I think so.
Yeah.
Via, what's going on with the culinaires reality show?
Well, since last time, we had shot a sizzle reel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so really the only update, I think, is that our director has let us know that they've been cutting it together, and we're going to see an edit soon of our sizzle reel. And then it'll be off to be sent around to networks, and we'll soon also be TV stars, and then we'll be getting the free meals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'll do this again in a year, and it'll just be three TV stars sitting around being TV stars together. None of this writer stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a little worried we haven't seen a cut sooner. It does feel like they're sitting on this edit of the show a little long.
It doesn't feel like it's their top priority at the moment.
There's that, or I'm just wondering if it's a train wreck.
Yeah. Well, we should be kind of ourselves lucky that people even put us on camera for a night.
That's true.
We're not here for that.
It might just be Covfefe.
It might be Covfefe.
You know.
Two scoops.
What's up, Duncan? What else you want to talk about?
Oh God, let me see. Well, I'd love to talk more about Master of None, but you haven't seen it. I mean, Master of None to me is such a foodie show, and Desmond's seen it, and I'm like, God, if someone gave me a TV show to star in and to write, well, no one gave him a TV show, but if I worked to get a TV show, I can't imagine kind of anything better than Aziza's show. You cast a beautiful woman as your love interest. You go out to delicious restaurants with your buddies. You travel to Italy. I mean, it's really all there.
Yeah, it's pretty perfect.
I heard that the writers had to fly themselves to Italy, so that's kind of a bummer right there to me. It takes a little bit of the shine off it.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that, actually.
Yeah, they put them up in Italy?
I don't even know if they did.
What's the Writers Guild rules on that?
That's what I'm wondering. I may have just gotten someone in trouble.
We're going to make some phone calls.
That was pre-negotiations?
Well, regardless, I don't think you can. I think you got to fly people. But I heard from someone who knew someone.
How much work the writer's doing? It's two episodes in Italy.
Yeah.
One's an homage.
Well,
and there's a lot of riffing.
They had to fly out. They were forced to fly out on their own dime.
Mm. How's the food at You're the Worst?
Food at You're the Worst is good.
The on-set food?
Yeah.
It is pretty good. We have these caterers. I wish I could plug them. I don't know. I can't remember what they're called.
No.
But we got them back this year.
Nice.
And I will say this. They're very good. The first week, you love it, and you're like, I can't believe how good this is. And then the last week, you're kind of a little bit over it.
Yeah, well, that's why last year I and I started a Postmate luncheon. We would find out when we were about an hour out of lunch, and if we knew we were in the Postmate in, we'd put it in, and it usually took around 45 to 50 minutes to get there. And then as soon as we were done, our Postmates would be there. And
I would get her Taco Bell. You'd get your Dune.
No.
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
I got Dune.
Oh, she's a big Taco Bell fan.
Oh, she loves
she'll say that.
I believed, that beet sandwich at Dune, that's in Atwater Village.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I missed that place.
Yeah.
That's a hot scoop. The star of your show is Taco Bell?
She loves it.
Oh, she's, right. And she's not bashful about it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused. First of all, we're in L.A. And second of all, really? Okay. All right, a couple chicken tacos?
No. Bean burrito.
Ooh.
Actually, I like the bean burrito Taco Bell. I'll eat that.
Is she a vegetarian?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No.
There's probably a lot of lard in there, I would imagine.
I'm like you. There's the same. You know, it's like you're in a place where there's so many amazing tacos. Why would you go to Taco Bell?
Yeah. Well, Taco Bell would give me flashbacks of living in Florida and like scrounging my seats for change and being, you know, in my 20s.
Oh.
So that's not the feeling I want.
Gotta get a gordita.
Yeah, I was a like three chicken soft tacos man, just
three
real simple, very simple.
I used to like them area cinnamon twists that they had.
Oh yeah, those are good.
Other than that, I'm like a purist, you know. I don't really like to eat pizza too much outside of New York or Chicago. I get kind of weary. I was in Nashville once and I had barbecue, had a whole bunch of barbecue while I was there. But I was there for a little bit. Someone was like, hey, this place has really good pizza. I ate that pizza and I threw my ass up all morning the next day. Mm. So I kind of try
You do any hot chicken in Nashville?
Any hot chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Bolton's over Christmas.
Oh.
Tasman, you're a big Instagrammer.
Yeah.
And you're known for your Foodie Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Am I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, your Foodie Fridays are huge.
Yeah.
I'm going to check them out right now.
Talk to us about Foodie Friday. What's the genesis? What's your inspiration? How does it work?
You know, it's kind of morphed over time. I wanted to post things that I was interested about, so I kind of started 3 days a week. I was trying to start a hashtag to see, like, what piqued my interest the most as time went on.
Yep.
Foodie Friday was really the only one that stuck, and that's because I love food so much. So at first it started out with places that I was going to and stuff that I was really digging on to put it on there so that people then put stuff that they dig on and we could kind of like, you know, branch out on our catalog of places that we like to go eat. Then it kind of morphed into stuff that I was cooking at the time and trying to see if I could get recipes and exchange recipes with other people. And that didn't really go over very well.
Mm.
And then so I kind of morphed into – I started – more people started following me who were into food. I started following more people that were into food. And now we're just kind of exchanging photos back and forth. And I feel like it's the best way to get, you know, as many great chefs, restaurants, dishes out there for the public eye so that people can have foodgasms over it and then go get something – when they're in that town or get something like it in whatever town that they're in.
And it's not based in any one particular town. I mean, this is all over the country. These pictures and restaurants come from.
Oh yeah, it's all over the place.
Now I have noticed.
This is a good food feed.
It's a good food feed. I have noticed sometimes Foodie Friday comes up on other days of the week. What's that about?
Yeah, sometimes I forget, or I also like to eat on other days other than Friday. So then if I do Foodie Friday on a Monday.
Uh-huh.
Or I say, is it Foodie Friday yet? Because I want it to be.
Right.
And it's only Tuesday.
But it's not.
Or, you know, since Friday's been such like a shitstorm of political bukkake, by the time Monday comes around, like, I just want to share with everyone what's on my mind. It's like a beautiful picture of food, and if we can just think about that.
For we'll
a
escape.
While,
I like
we'll
it.
Be able to,
Foodie Friday is not a day. It's a mindset.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Are you friends with Kieran and Shipka? I wondered if all foodie actors are friends.
I'm not.
Is she a big foodie?
Yeah, from Mad Men. She's huge on Instagram.
Oh,
very big
as a foodie.
Very big as a foodie on Instagram. Okay. Very big fan of Squirrel.
Oh, I like Squirrel.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The chef of Squirrel's been here.
Avocado toast in this chair?
In that chair?
She was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to wash my butt.
She was a great guest. We did have some technical problems.
Yeah.
But she was wonderful.
That avocado toast is slamming.
It's good. Good stuff.
So good.
Now, listeners of the show know that I am not a great cook. As shocking as it may be, since I know so much about food.
Well, I have heard that you make a pretty good banana ketchup.
I'm going to make banana ketchup for the next show. So as someone, I really want to not kick up my cooking skills this summer. Were you a cook? Is everyone in the family a cook? Did you learn to cook later? Is
would you grow up eating
thing?
In Chicago as a young boy? Well, were the parents cooking?
Yeah, well, I grew up like in a 6-flat graystone building with Puerto Ricans, Italians, and Greeks. And so
you mean like blacks, whites, and...
three Filipinos.
Filipinos.
It was very diverse, especially on Friday nights. I had aunts, uncles, grandparents, my parents all living in there, and everyone was kind of making their own thing. But my grandmother and I were very close when I was young. I kind of learned how to manage my bank account with pasta in a jar at one point. That's a pretty funny story. I could tell that. But
the jar was the piggy bank and the pasta was the coins?
Yeah, well, basically. And then later on I found out that she actually used to hide money in big glass jars of pasta that were in the...
Oh,
smart.
So I get it.
It's kind of like, you know, the money's in the banana stand.
Yeah.
The money's in the banana... There's money in the banana stand.
Right,
but no,
right.
So anyway, so she really... She's Sicilian. She, like, my infatuation with food really comes from her.
Okay.
She's... A lover of food, a lover of all types of food, and love to cook it and love to experiment with it. So I would help her out in the kitchen all the time when I was really young. And even as I got older and, you know, I would come by for holiday stuff, I was always in there with her. And then kind of when I got to my later years of high school, my early years of college, like I just got really into talking with people about food. And that's when like food shows kind of started coming out. And so there was that was happening, and there was, like, internet stuff, like, that was kind of going on. And I was just always interested in reading up about it, and I really loved to eat it. And I would, you know, try to sort out. At first, I always just wanted to go to the best places that I could go to in whatever city I was in. And then pretty soon that, you know, reversed into, like, whatever is the best hole in the wall that I could find that's, like, somebody's grandmother cooking in the back.
Right.
It's like a family-run sort of business, and like that's you get everything. You get the heart, you get the love, you get the family, you get the food, which reminds me exactly what it was like in my grandmother's kitchen when I was a kid.
Mm.
So that's kind of like where I came from.
It's in the blood.
So then I just started playing around from there at home. You know, it doesn't take a lot to follow a recipe,
right?
You know, and then the food tastes pretty good.
It does for me.
But the recipe doesn't give you the love.
No.
The love's got to come from somewhere else.
No, recipe doesn't also always talk about timing.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Zachary Pilecchio's book, Eat With Your Hands, is actually really great because it does break things down by timing, but also by drink. So you start off with, like, this music and this drink starting to cook.
Ooh.
And then as you make it, you transition to this drink, and then time goes by while you're waiting for it to cook, and then you find... So it's like
a whole night he's laying out for you.
Yeah, it's like super interactive.
Yeah. What was your grandmother's specialties, or what do you remember her making that you loved?
She made the best homemade biscotti cookies I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she would just like throw those together, and all of a sudden they would just be like out, like trays and trays of them, out, ready to go. She made homemade pizza. She made homemade lasagna. I mean,
And what's your signature dish?
My signature dish? Oh man. It depends.
Let's say for dinner time.
If there's a grill available, I go to this 48-hour marinated skirt steak that I do in red wine vinegar, honey, soy sauce, olive oil, fresh ginger, black pepper, and then I have my own salty, peppery crust that I like to put on it.
My
I would say probably the thing I'm best at making is arroz con gandule, which is a traditional Puerto Rican rice dish that comes out specifically during the holiday times. But I kind of take like my father's mother's recipe and my father's sister-in-law, my aunt's recipe, and I've mixed it and added more olives, and I do leaner on the pork loin, and I use a lot of salt pork in it. And I think
So it's rice and pork, essentially?
Basically, yeah. I substituted the chicken and the chicken bone, and I went salt. I brought the salt pork first, and then I marinate the loin in lime for a little while because I want the outside to get nice and crispy while it's in there, but I don't want the pork to overcook.
Right.
Because you put the pork in, and then you put the vegetables and the alcapurro and the sofrito and everything in there, and then the rice and then the water, and then you let it do its thing for like 40 minutes. But if you cook the pork too much, by the time it's basting in the rice, it comes out and it's dry as fuck, and it's not good. So I marinate it in the lime for a little while and actually kind of let it cook, and then flash it in there really quick, and then let it simmer for a while.
Oh my god!
Have you been to Puerto Rico?
I have been to Puerto Rico, but not since I was 5 years old.
What's the fish dish? Like mufino
there's mofongo.
Mofongo.
Which is smashed plantains.
Yes.
And usually they like do it with camarones or langosta.
Uh-huh.
What's it called? Bacalao.
What is that?
It is like their marinated herring.
Ooh.
That sounds good. Yeah, I'm not a huge bacalao soup fan, but I do like
kind of a salty fish.
Yeah.
And is it mashed in with the plantain?
Yeah.
And then that's all cooked together?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's great there.
Yeah.
It's great there. It's not so great when it's cold.
Okay.
All right.
You need it fresh.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Mofongo. Can't wait to try it.
Mofongo.
Well, we might have to wrap up pretty soon in the Culinary's Radio Hour. But
it goes by so quickly.
I do have one more question. Knowing what Nashville pizza did to you, gun to your head, where would you eat pizza in L.A.?
I have no idea. I think the only place I've ever eaten pizza in L.A. is at Garage.
Wow. You are a real... I know you're not a native New Yorker, but you're a real New Yorker Chicagoan.
At Cosa Buono.
Right. Okay. So
good call, Franklin.
Nice call back.
And you're not throwing up right now.
You
haven't been to Pizzeria Mozza?
I have been to Pizzeria Mozza.
Okay.
With Steven.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Batali, though, right?
It's
Osteria Mozza. It's Batali, right?
With Nancy Silverton.
Well, that girl.
It's not that it's bad. It's just kind of like when I go to Chicago, like I want to get a Chicago dog. Mm-hmm. I want to get like an Italian beef and Polish sausage combo with juicy peppers dipped a little bit in the sauce.
Damn.
You know, like
You want to go to New York and get pizza? You want to come to LA and get a taco?
Yeah.
I hear that. I respect that.
Korean barbecue.
Yeah, or Korean barbecue.
Or like a ridiculous ice cream sandwich at Milk that's made with a fruity pebble ice cream.
And or a burger.
The Connors Twitter is lighting up right now with pizza suggestions, but you know what? I'm not going to get into it.
Feel free to also send those over to at Desmond Borges because I always love good suggestions.
When does your The Worst start?
We start shooting this week.
Shooting this week, and then it'll come out. I don't know. Do you know the premiere date?
They have not announced it yet.
So it'll be late August, early September.
All right. Well, I'm a huge fan of the acting.
I'm a huge fan of the writing.
Thank you.
The writing's good, too. The writing's good. All right, well, thanks for coming out with us for part two, being our first two-timer.
You know, I have to say I feel pretty good about both of my experiences. I know you guys were a little iffy about this last one, but I had a very good time.
I think you've done great, and we made up the rule tonight that third-timers, three-peaters, get a T-shirt, get a very special Culinaires T-shirt.
And do I get my name on the back?
You get your name on the back. Maybe whenever we should, not tonight, but we'll come up with some way we can award a special listener with a T-shirt, maybe.
What is your Culinaires name?
Christopher Columbus.
It's brilliant. Christopher Columbus. We'll try to squeeze it onto the back of the shirt.
All right. Well, till next time. We don't have a sign-off phrase, but till next time, you get the idea. Happy eating.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.